talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good morning to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. I guess it's not morning anymore, but it's close enough. Anyway, you know what I meant. Happy lunch hour. How's that? Currently, it's 81 degrees. Heat index is 82. Humidity is 50. The wind is south-southeast, 6 miles an hour, basically calm out there. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast with you later on in the hour, but I will tell you that I came in this morning to help Landry with the early morning show since Nathan's on mandatory vacation this week. He'll be back Friday, I think, but between when we started the show and when I finished the show, it was... They added 20% chance of rain coming in this weekend, so that's good news. I know it's a few days away, but hey, rain in the forecast this time of the year is welcome anywhere as far as I'm concerned. Let's check out some stuff going on. We are streaming live on Facebook. We're streaming live on our KECOFM.com website. Got any questions? You got anything you want to hear about? Et cetera, et cetera. The KECO text line, ag text line, is open, 580-225-9697. All right, let's check out the futures first on commodities. Corn, July 760. Everything's in the green today also, FYI. September 671, December 662. Soybeans, 1656, August 1551, September 1475, soybean meal, July $452.90, August is $419.80, September $405.07. Soybean oil is 71.81 cents for July, August is 68.66 cents. That was for August. September, 67.29 cents. Hard red winter wheat for July, 981. September's 987. Let's check out a little bit of the cash grain prices in Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle. If it'll go to it. There she is. All right. As of an hour ago, hard red winter wheat is at 920 a bushel. Corn's at 821. Milo's at $7.49, and soybeans are at $15.45 a bushel. And I missed out on the corn here, or not the corn, but the cotton real quick. Let me get back to that. On the futures on cotton is $1.03. Man, it's rock bottomed out. But anyway, October's $1.03, and December is 94 cents a pound. Sugar is hanging in there. 0.183 cents. That's for Mr. Silk out there in the Dale High area. He buys a lot of sugar out there. I don't know what he does with it, but he buys a bunch from what I heard. He might add it into the hay. You might ought to give him a call, see if he's got some sweet hay out there for sale. You never know about Mr. Brian Silk, aka Bill Dance. Well, let's see what's causing all this commotion in the world today. Soybeans and corn jumped in overnight trading after a government report showed declining conditions of both crops in the United States. About 65% of soybeans were in good or excellent condition as of Sunday, according to the USDA in its report. A week earlier, 68% of the crop earned top rating, so it's come down 3%. 67% of the corn crop was in good or excellent condition at the start of the week, and that's down from 70% from last week. 7% of the U.S. soybean crop was blooming as of Sunday, behind the prior five-year average of 11% for this time of the year. 4% of corn was silking, on par with the average. in wheat. The wheat harvest rolls on with about 41% now in the bin. That's up from 25% a week earlier and ahead of the average of 35%. 30% of the winter wheat crop was in good or excellent condition, unchanged from the previous week. About 59% of the spring wheat crop earned top ratings, unchanged week to week. 8% of their crop was headed well behind the normal 34% for this time of the year, according to the United States Department of Agriculture. Speaking of the United States Department of Agriculture, July 15th, gentlemen, ladies, will be here before you know it, and that's your deadline to report your summer crops and other things. So don't go to your FSA office. Please call them and make an appointment to go see. Because I'm not going to be that guy. Hey, Jimmy told me to come in and talk to you guys. No, I didn't. I told you to call them. So anyway, make sure you do that. They got a holiday weekend coming up. Ain't very many work days till then. So you need to get it done now because the deadline is July 15th. So it takes time to get this paperwork done. So be really nice to them. Give them a call, set up an appointment, and go in and see your local FSA office to report your summer crops. Chicago wheat yesterday hit its lowest price in 4 months, which led to some bargain hunting and overnight session. Soybean futures for November delivery surged 16.5 cents to $14.49 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal added 30 cents to $394.50 a short ton, while soybean oil futures rose 1.05 cents to 66.37 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery was 10.5 cents up to $6.63.5 a bushel. That's for December, not next month. Wheat for September delivery jumped 24 cents to $9.41.5 a bushel, while Kansas City futures gained 13.5 cents to $9.92.25 a bushel. Inspections of corn, beans, wheat for export were all higher week to week, according to the USDA. Corn inspections were reported at 1.25 million metric tons in the 7 days that ended on June 23rd. That's up from 1.19 million a week earlier and ahead of the 1.05 million tons that were assessed the same week last year. Examinations of soybeans for offshore delivery increased to 468,309 metric tons. That's from 428,000 the previous week, and well ahead of the 111,000 tons assessed same point in 2021. Wheat inspections last week came in at 352,404 metric tons, up from the 348,000 tons a week prior and way up from the 291,000 last year. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the USDA has inspected 47.4 million metric tons of corn for overseas delivery. That's down from 57 million tons last year. Bean assessments since the beginning of September are now at 51.4 million, and that's down from 57 million last year. Wheat inspections since the start of the grains marketing year on June 1st now stand at 1.34 million metric tons. That's just behind the 1.54 million tons last year. Well, surprise, surprise, hot, dry weather in central Nebraska will create wildfire risks this week as temperatures rise and wind speeds increase, according to the National Weather Service. Temperatures tomorrow and Thursday are forecast to top out at about 105 degrees Fahrenheit with wind gusts from 25 to 30 miles an hour. The combination of low relative humidity values and breezy conditions will lead to potential and elevated weather conditions in the western portions of the area. That's about it. Only major weather thing going on. I can tell you, looking at the long ranger, provided to you by Hobart Farm and Garden out of Hobart, Oklahoma, Kiowa County. Next week, guys, it don't look too great. So get prepared, and I'm sure with our triple digits and the winds that I've seen in the forecast, fire conditions will return to Oklahoma because green grass will burn too if the humidity is low enough. And as you guys, if you didn't see on our Facebook page or the Roger Mills Emergency Management, they sent a task force up to Harper County just a few days ago, and they had a big one up there. I think the last I seen, that was announced by the Roger Mills Fire Association or Roger Mills Emergency Management, that fire line was 5 miles long at one time. So that's a big fire. So just because we've been getting some rain and stuff, we're not out of the deal, and the drought is slowly coming back. Hopefully this rain in our forecast coming up will come true. Dreams will come true. If we just need about a half inch to an inch of rain all over all of our listening area, but mainly south of I-40, because they missed the rain you guys got up north here a while back. Just go from Hammond to Cheyenne down towards Sweetwater, Allison, Texas, and Wheeler and Shamrock. Give us an inch south of there, give them a half inch up there, and everybody will be happy for a few more days. Well, when I get back, you guys know what Tuesday is. Not only is it Tuesday Heydays, but it's also Stockman's Veterinary Clinic Happy Cap Hour. So when we get back, I'll talk to you a little bit about them. And I got livestock futures to talk about, and I got my reports from Mr. Brandon Hickey from the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction in the Elk City. And you guys missed out if you don't get them to the sale here. I think Hobart's Wednesday is their last sale, but man, the slaughter cattle are doing very good. I'll have that report for you when I come back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I knew I was probably going to try to get a hold of Mickey, and I had been shopping and had the prices. So I had shopped previously before Mickey showed up at the office, and I told him that. And he understood, and he said he wanted to give it a shot. And so he did, and his prices were right. And his coverage was as good or better than some of the stuff I was shopping. And so that was an easy decision for me because I'd already done the legwork on the other end, but I had been to their places. He shows up at my barn. And so when he was even a little bit cheaper on some stuff the same, it was an easy decision for me because you got a guy there wanting your business. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring. Every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer, they're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18-ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. And we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing.
We strive in our cow herd for high efficiency cattle. We want lots of gain with low input. That's what we strive for. We want our customers to be able to wean the biggest calf without putting much money into that. We try to prove that through our commercial herd, and then if they prove themselves there, then we make them registered, and we chase those bloodlines. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hi, my name is Vandy Silk. I'm a fifth-generation farmer, blah, blah, blah. I'm just kidding, Vandy. If you guys don't know, I love giving Vandy and his dad, especially his dad, a lot of grief. They're good acquaintances. I don't know if we're friends, but good acquaintances. But actually, I've never said this before, but I'm going to announce it so you guys know that I don't have a thorn under my saddle for Vandy. I might be a little jealous because he's on the radio more than I am, but he is the one that named my show Today in Ag. I called him up because I know he's like younger than me, and he actually went to college, OSU, so I figure he's smarter than me. But anyway, I called him up. I said, I need a really cool name to name the Ag Show. You know, just, you know, this, that, Ag, or Jimmy's Ag Show. We didn't want that. We wanted something really cool. And Bandy did. He came up with a really cool name, and it's stuck with us a year so far. So, Today in Ag. When you think of Today in Ag, you think of Jimmy Clark. But think, man, I heard Bandy name that show. So anyway, he did. He's famous, but anyway, fifth generation farmer from Delhi area. You know, I kind of get sick of hearing about it, but anyway, he's a pretty good guy though. 82 degrees, heat index is at 82. The winds are out of south southeast at 8 miles an hour. Wind gusts are up to 12 miles an hour. And let's check out livestock market for the futures here. If I can get over to it, sometimes these things don't operate as fast as I want them to. There we go. Okay, looks like I said everything was in the green earlier. I should have strolled down to the cattle or to the livestock because it's all in the red, but not bad. It's steady. Feeder cattle are down a little bit, but everything else is pretty steady. June live cattle 136.62. August 133 even, October 139.65, December 145.52. Feeder cattle for August down 1.7 to 172.40. September is 175.37, down 1.4. Lean hogs July 109.95, August 104.27, and October is 90.27. All right, let me bring up my text message from Mr. Brandon Hickey himself. There we go. All right, let's start out with Elk City last Friday. Looks like they had a little over 1,000 head, almost 1,100 head at 1,062 head. Steers weighing 441, 192, 501, 173, 591, 165. These calves here weighed 631, brought 176, and they were weaned and ready to go. And then on the heifer side, we got some 488s, brought 169 even. They were weaned. Some 402s actually brought 173. 525s, looks like anything in the 5 weights was bringing right at $155 per 100 weight. And then we got some 686 pounders, brought $1.54. And 30 head that weighed 764 brought 149.50. Butcher cows was bringing up to 102. Butcher bulls was bringing up to 128. Bred cows up to 1200. And pairs were bringing 1725. Over there east of Clinton on I-40 yesterday, looks like he had almost 1100 head there, 1085. Some steers weigh in, a big bunch of steers from Hinton, 404, brought 217.50. Some 462s, $1.83. Then were cutter bulls. Sayre, we had some 638-pound steers, brought $1.85. That's really good. And Butler, we had 783-pounders, brought 168. And coming in from corn, 787s, 161.25. Mountain View had about 13 head. It almost weighed 900 at 893, brought $1.50 or 158.50. Heifers got some 400 pounders, $177. Some 547 pounders, 167. Big bunch from Butler, 642, weights brought 156. And another nice set from Hydro brought 696 at a 156. They weighed 696, brought 156. And then they had some 776 pounders, brought a $1.50. Let's see what they had, some butcher cows over there yesterday also, 103. And butcher bulls were bringing up to 121. Don't look like they had any bred cows, and had a few pairs, and only was bringing up to $1,150, $1,200 bucks there. And that was from Western Oklahoma and from the Elk City Livestock Shows auctions. Today, Woodward's got their cow and bull sale going on. I'll have the results for you in the morning. And then tomorrow, Hobart Stockyards, I think it's the last sale of the week tomorrow, because holidays coming up. Elk City will definitely be not happening this Friday. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will definitely not be happening Monday. I'm sure Hollis will be closed Saturday. I haven't seen anything on their Facebook page, but I'm assuming they are, and we probably, everybody's going to be enjoying the 4th of July weekend. It is election time today. Please go vote and vote for the people you want to see in office, whether they're in there or they're not. And just go vote. Your vote does count. And so, sorry about that. Man, I got a text message from Grand Island, Nebraska last night, and it's a good one. I got to watch the video. This was kind of like the OYE entrance or entrance to the World Olympics when they come in, all the teams come marching in with their flags waving and stuff. So Susan Barnett sent me a video of the Oklahoma 4-H shooting team at Grand Island, Nebraska last night. And the Oklahoma team come in, 4-H team come in waving the Oklahoma flag. It was great. It was awesome to watch. We have some people from right here in our area that are representing the Oklahoma State 4-H at the National Shooting Sports Championships in Grand Island, Nebraska. Brigham Barnett, who goes to school right here at Merritt. Leighton Fries, who also goes to school here in Merritt. And Rustin Frazier from Blair are some local kids from high school in our 4-H that are representing our area and our state in the sporting clays, trap, and skeet. I think the sporting clays are today, traps tomorrow, maybe skeet is the following day. But if you get a chance, get on social media or text Susan or BJ or the Freezes and wish them good luck. That's a once in a lifetime chance to go do something in the national sporting shoot for the Oklahoma State 4-H. It's awesome. I'm glad. I had the good news yesterday about the OYE having a shoot coming up in August. And then I get that text message last night. I'm a big fan of the 4-H and FFA, as you guys all know, and super big fans of the shooting teams. And I wish those kids a lot of luck. Brigham Barnett, she's one of my favorite people in the world, and she'll do anything to help us at our Quail Forever. She'll do anything to help anybody, actually, and she can back it up with a gun. And if I was her dad, I wouldn't worry about her on dates. So anyway, but she's a good kid. And Leighton, congratulations for going there too. I don't know Leighton as well as I do Brigham. And Rustin Frazier, I've heard of him. I haven't got to meet him in person. But good luck with you kids up there in Grand Island, Nebraska. When I get back, we'll have a little weather update and some more stuff. We got some poison going out on the Johnson grass right now. People are losing some cattle. I don't know left and right, but they're dropping. We've had some people lose some cows around here, so we need to be careful. We'll be back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, June 27th. 1,085 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 235 brought 575. 3 at 462 brought 183. 8 at 638 brought 185. 4 at 745 brought 164. 13 at 893 brought 158.50. 5 head of heifers at 272 brought 550. 8 at 429 brought 161. 3 at 547 brought 167. 15 at 696 brought 156.50. 8 at 1150 brought 121. Butcher cows were 50 to 103. Butcher bulls brought 108 to 121. Pairs were 1100 to 1150. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Oh, I have a lot of fun with people texting. It's a dire reason I don't take live calls, because I got friends, as Garth Brooks says, I have friends in low places. 81 degrees, heat index is 82 degrees. And the winds are still out south-southeast at 8 to 12 miles an hour. We had about, looks like, 0.04 tenths of rain here this morning. When I pulled through Sayre right at daybreak, or not, it was, well, 6 o'clock, it was, the water was running down the street. I don't know how much they got over there. I did, let me check his text message out real quick. I finally got somebody to text me in some numbers from the rain from the day before. He said, found out some rain amounts for you, and I appreciate you doing this. Roger Mills County got 0.7 inches at Cheyenne, outside of town there, about 1.6 miles northwest of Cheyenne. And northwest of Cheyenne, 8 miles, they got 0.7 there, too. North of Raiden, they got 3 inches. And at the bend of the river up north, had 3 inches. Thank you, sir. So they did. There was getting some good rains, and that's what my deal was showing. There was still somewhere over there between Durham and Allison, somewhere out in that area in the Texas Panhandle. My deal was showing 5 to 8 inches. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. And I went down to the river last night, had company over last night. A friend of mine from Sarah come out. We cooked up some steak. We had some inch and a half ribeyes. Thick ribeyes, and my pellet grill is down. Mr. Skinny on sports here, Mr. Aaron Cout, showed me a way of doing it in skillet. I've done some thin ones in some skillets, but not inch and a half thick one. Anyway, we did that. Put it in the oven at 500 degrees for about 10 minutes after I seared them on each side for a minute and a half. And we had some deer sausage that had 3 cheeses in it. And then I baked some squash, taters, and onions mixed up with a little bit of oil, and in the oven with that. And then what else we have? We had a salad. Nobody ate salad. We had a lot of food. And then my wife got home just in time. I just got the dinner ready. And we had, she had some strawberry shortcake. And now she's texting me that she wants me to do all the dishes when I get home today, and I will. No worries. She'll redo them, but I'll do them anyways, just so she can redo them anyway. The beef was, and the sausage, it was awesome. Anyway, we had a good time. So we went out of the river last night, because I was expecting the river to come up last night. Maybe it's up this morning from all the rain they got out around Shamrock and that Allison area and Wheeler area. That all drains into the south of, there's a point there that it all drains into the North Fork of the Red River, and then up there north of Wheeler's when it goes into the Washita. So anyway, I was expecting the river to get up, but it's not. Will, he texted in, they got 0.2 inches near Moorwood. Good. So anyway, it was a nice little shower. Got the hay in case if you was baling any hay this morning. Well, as I said earlier, today is Stockman's Veterinary Clinic Happy Cap Hour with Dr. Taylor Mouse. Stockman's Veterinary Clinic is serving all farmers, ranchers, pet owners in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle in their newly remodeled and updated clinic at 1019 South Main, 1019 South Main Street in Elk City. Dr. Taylor Mouse is providing all large animal services, including bovine and equine surgery, ultrasound, digital x-ray, equine dentistry, herd health, bovine embryo transfer, and AI programs, as well as all your sheep, goat, and pig veterinarian health needs. Stockman's also features a pull-through load unloading area, a brand new hydraulic tilt chute on site for cattle, as well as a heated indoor OB and large animal surgery suite with indoor stalls and outdoor pen space for inpatient treatment. Small animal services include routine checkups, vaccinations, boarding with indoor-outdoor runs, full surgery with gas anesthesia, including C-sections and pet dental needs, and an on-site laboratory with digital x-ray. Also, they're scheduling farm calls and providing 24-hour emergency services for all species. I still haven't called her yet on to come out and help me save a snake. I've been waiting for a golden opportunity. I really wanted to be about a 5.5-6 foot rattlesnake and have her come out for a cow and have her either shoot me or slap me or do something and turn around and leave and go back to the vet clinic, and I'll still get a bill for it. But I haven't caught that snake yet. But anyway, call 580-225-0200 or stop by and let Dr. Taylor Mouse and her professional staff provide you for you and your animals. They do care, and it shows. And I've been in there quite a few times, and I've never seen a sad look on her or any of her employees' faces. They're always in a good mood and really good people to work with. So there you have it. That is Dr. Taylor Mouse at Stockman's Veterinary Clinic. If you're watching on Facebook, I'm wearing their hat today. Well, where do we go from here? There's all kinds of places to go. Let's go to Dr. Peel. Dr. Darrell Peel, he says the latest USDA cattle on feed report showed June feedlot inventories of 11.846 million head, 101.2% of 1 year ago. This is a record level of June feedlot cattle since the data series began way back in 1996. Among the leading cattle feeding states, number one, Texas, is up 3%. Number two, Nebraska, is up 4%. And Kansas is down 1%. Anyway, he said the feedlot marketings in May were 1.914 million head, 102.4% of last year. May 2022 included one additional business day compared to 2021. May marketings were slightly below average pre-report estimates at the low end of the range. May placements were 1.869 million head. That's 97.9% of last year. That was lower than it's expected and less than the lowest pre-report estimates. May placements also included more lightweight cattle, with feedlot placements weighing less than 700 pounds, up 4.9%. And while placements for over 700 pounds was down 5.5% from last year. Smaller than expected placements may be the beginning to bring feedlot inventories down from record levels. It's reasonable to ponder why feedlots have maintained record inventories in 2022 despite the decline in overall cattle numbers since 2019. The largest calf crop of this cattle cycle was in 2018 and has decreased from a peak annual production of 36.3 million head in 2018 to 35.1 million head in 2021. So it's down, what, million head? In general, it would be expected the feeder supplies would have peaked in 2019 and feedlot production in 2020. Delays due to the pandemic in 2020 pushed some feedlot production into 2021. Several other factors are contributing to the continuous delays in peak feedlot and beef production. The decline in heifer retention associated with the cycle peak inventories, followed by liquidation, means that more heifer calves are directed into the feedlots. The inventory of beef replacement heifers peaked in 2017 at 6.36 million head and dropped to 5.61 million head in 2022. Heifer slaughter increased from a low of 7.35 million head in 2015. That was the beginning of the herd expansion, if everybody remembers, when cows and pairs and everything was crazy high, to 9.82 million head in 2019. Dropped back to 9.45 million head in 2020, partly the result of the pandemic, and increased again to 9.83 million head last year. So far, in 2022, heifer slaughter is running 3.3% above last year's levels as more heifers continue to come through the feedlots. Drought has likely been a significant factor in increased heifer slaughter last year and this year. Finally, feedlots have placed more lightweight cattle, which increases days on feed and allows feedlot inventories to remain elevated for a while. It was noted that above the May replacements included more lightweight cattle. In the last 6 months, overall feedlot placements have increased 1.7% year over year, with placements under 700 pounds up 3.5%, and over 700 pounds is 0.05%. Slowing down the turnover rate makes fewer cattle last longer in the feedlot. Well, there you go. When we get back, I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmandGarden.com. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
It is currently 81 degrees. Heat index is 82. The winds are now out of the east-northeast at 6 miles an hour with wind gusts of 12. Humidity is 47. Today, partly sunny, 86 for a high. Tomorrow, 90. Sunny Thursday, 95. Sunny Friday, or mostly sunny Friday, 94. Friday night, a slight chance of thunderstorms, 20%. Saturday, 20% chance of thunderstorms. When you know it, it's going to storm on the 4th of July weekend. Anyway, it wouldn't hurt if we got a ring. We'll never say no to a ring. Period. That's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Well, we got all kinds of things we can talk about in the next 10 minutes, but first of all, the prussic acid poisoning is usually a concern in the fall when animals graze after a frost. However, this type of toxic can also develop in forages during a drought, and it has been going on. I've been getting reports from all over the state. Cattle are dropping. So be sure and go out and check your pastures before you turn cattle in. Fix your fence. Keep them out of the bar ditch. There's Johnson grass out there just as well as your pasture. But anyway, it's very deadly to cattle. And one of our listeners up north around the Butler area, I think he said, told me on Facebook the other day or text me or something that he's already lost three. So be, and you know, everybody says we need to spray it. Well, really, the only it's a grass. It's unless somebody knows of a way out there to do it. You know, mowing and spraying it with Roundup, basically, and you got to spot spray it then because you don't want to kill your other grass. So, anyway, you got to be really careful with the Johnson grass right now because it's been what 2 to 3 weeks in the south of I-40 since they've got a rain. Yeah, we got a little shower this morning, but I don't think that's going to do any good. But if you think you've got some cattle acting weird, like they've been smoking left-handed cigarettes, you need to call your vet immediately. But also remember, get your other cows out of that pasture as fast as you can. I don't know how else to tell you that it's just the plants are stressed from these drought conditions. It's naturally occurring. And it will convert to prussic acid when they have broken it down, chewing it, or mechanical harvest. Always get your hay check, whether it's Johnson grass, whether it's sorghum, whatever. Make sure you get your hay check, because I have seen some down there between Granite and Lone Wolf that they were cutting last week when I was down there working on the pivot last week. So anyway, please make sure you get your hay checked at all times. A big smart thing to do. There's also some hay prices. Today is Hay Day Tuesday here on Today in Ag. Let's just go through there and see. And this is reported sales. This is not all sales. I personally don't know anybody that reports it, but somebody does around here. Texas was premium alfalfa was running anywhere from $270 to $390 per ton. And that's on premium, but that was also delivered. Oklahoma's anywhere from 200 to 280 delivered. New Mexico is selling up to $375 a ton, and that's not delivered. Missouri's 175 to 275 across the board. Kansas is 180 up to 410, but that's delivered. And I think California is the highest. Looking at that, yeah, California, Nebraska, Arizona, they're paying a premium right now. Some grass prices around the United States here. Let's start with Kansas, $125 a ton. Missouri's $140 a ton. No recorded sales in Oklahoma on grass hay. Texas anywhere from 180 to 330. I'm figuring that grass hay in western Oklahoma is going to be bringing anywhere from $150 to $180 a ton. I'm guessing maybe higher. Input costs are crazy. Somebody was telling me the other day, I don't remember who it was, and I probably wouldn't say their name if I did remember it. They figured it up, because I told you guys last week when I was going down to Granite that I seen six or seven different people plowing and not spraying. Somebody said that they did put a pencil to it and to hire a hand and pay them $20 an hour, diesel for your tractor, plow, overhead, all of that stuff, with the chemicals, if you spray chemicals, was three times higher than plowing your ground. So I believe it. Looking at some of the cost of that Liberty Roundup or that Liberty stuff, it was like $30-something a gallon last year. It's over $100 a gallon this year. And you still got to go across it with equipment, even though it is quicker. It doesn't take quite as much diesel and labor to do that. But, yeah. I can see it, but there are just some farms in western Oklahoma that chemical application, really your smartest bet, because you got sand, and is one of them. If you have sand, you want that blowing if we don't get any more rain this summer. So, yeah, you've got to use your head on it, but I'm feeling your pain on that deal. Well, I've been talking about the Wild Plum Jam 2022, the KECO 96.5. First annual Wild Plum Jam is coming up in Sayre. The Music Fest is sponsored by the Sayre Chamber of Commerce and brought to you by Hutch's Sea Stores. It's coming up Friday, but you know what? After Stoney LaRue, Tyler Wilhelm, Michael Mark Murphy, Joe Merrick, Even Money, and Ragland get done that day, the next day is the Dust Bowl days. And don't go anywhere, I want to tell you about it. But at the food jam, at the music jam, there's going to be food trucks, adult beverages, vendors, free swimming, admission, $50 per person, kids under 12, free with an adult. Think about this. This would be a great day for mom and dad, our aunt and uncle, our grandma and grandpa to take the kids, grandkids, nephew and nieces and go to the music fest. Tell the kids to go swimming. You go over and listen to music. And it's a peaceful day. Cheap babysitting. I mean it is. But the mission is $50 per person. And they'll have Wild Plum Jam and homemade biscuits from 5 to 7 o'clock that evening. Buy tickets at any Hutch's store, Sea Store location, or maybe purchase online at sarahchamber.org or at the gate. And they'll have a drawing all afternoon, but you're not eligible for the drawing unless you buy your tickets at Hutch's Sea Stores. And they got them all. I've seen them there. They're doing it. And it's the Sweet Juicy Sweepstakes. And you will have to be present to be win. So if you go to Music Fest and you want to win something, you got to be present to win. Also, the following day, Fun Day starts. And that's the Dust Bowl days will be happening at the park. There will be some live music at the pavilions. It'll just be some local bands playing under there. But the parade, that parade last year was cool. That's where it caught my attention, how bad a person Brian Silk really was. I know I seen him drive over a piece of candy with the sprayer or whatever he was driving last year. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. He didn't. Well, he probably did, but he didn't mean to. But anyway, the parade was good. You got to see a lot of traditional families, big families from the western Oklahoma area in that parade. The Damerons, the Breezes, the Silks. Man, it was awesome. I remember I seen the Damerons all on big semi-trailer. The Breezes might have been on there with them, too. My memory's kind of short. But it'll be fun. But on the Wild Plum Jam, Drew Cobb, our own Drew Cobb from the Backroads Country here and from Tradio, he's going to be the MC of that music fest. And then Saturday, I'm going to MC the parade. So I'm going to be talking trash on a few of you as you come through there. The rest of you, I love you so much. But anyway, and then everybody's going to the park. They're going to have fun with the rodeo at the rodeo grounds with some family deals going out there, goat tying, racing across the river in the Rangers, and booths and vendors and all kinds of stuff going on at the deal. Last year, my wife and I had a booth there selling vegetables, but my no vegetable growing body didn't do very good this year, so they're growing, but they won't be ready for the jam or for the Dust Bowl days. Anyway, if you guys want to get in the parade, Miss Sherry Dameron would really appreciate you guys getting in the parade and letting her know right now. And you can call her at 580-374-2845. This is a big deal for Western Oklahoma. It just shows you what there's a lot of history and what went on back in the Dust Bowl days. A lot of the older generations like me and older, we kind of understand it. I've got brothers and sisters that were born during those days, but the younger generations, they need to keep up with history and learn about it. So bring the kids out to learn about the Dust Bowl days. All right, enough of that. Let's go. What else we got going on here? I had something going on. I wanted to. Oh, it's Pollinator Week. This is National Pollinator Week. Did you guys know that there's 4,000 native bee species in North America? 4,000. That's a lot of bee species. And I noticed one of our friends from Sayre, she posted on where they had a beehive on their church there on Spring Creek Baptist Church there. And those, they're traveling. We usually have some bees right behind our house, and I haven't seen them this year, but I know they're nearby because the bees are watering in my garden right now. But these bees travel. They're very important to our ecosystem. So whatever you do, don't be scared of them. They're honeybees. They're just thirsty and hungry, and they're wanting to get somewhere to make their permanent homes. Don't get rid of them. Don't spray them. Don't do anything crazy with them. Call somebody that wants to remove a beehive, but just let them go naturally. They'll be fine. Just don't go stick your hand around them. It'll be fine. Anyway, these are very beneficial insects, and with all the pollinators we had from the rain a few weeks ago, there's a lot of things pollinating out there right now, so it's really good for them. There's some stuff about the bees that I didn't really realize, but, you know, there's different bees for wood, for pollinate trees. There's different bees for pollinating flowers. They're not all the same bees. Even if they look the same, they're not the same. So plan ahead. Put some pollinators out there for the bees to hang around your house and your garden. It's very important for them to hang around your garden to help pollinate your vegetables. Super important. But anyway, buffets of native flowers and vegetables will attract the bees, and they'll appreciate it. It's for shelter, resting, and feeding. See you guys tomorrow. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. God bless.